This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of This Week in ITFC History. My name is David Diamond, and along with my colleague, the Renegade Statman, we'll be looking back at the names, the games, the wins, the draws, and the losses from This Week in ITFC History. How are you, Stat? How are you, mate?
I'm great.
Have you recovered from Saturday evening?
What, you drinking my beer?
Yeah, me drinking your beer, right, yeah. Do you want to say what we did Saturday evening? I'm sure everybody knows what we did, but go on, run
give, is,
quick,
do you mean,
a quick run through.
What, right until the end, or should I leave that bit out?
Well, not right until the
end. Oh, okay, yeah, fine, yeah.
Yeah.
So we had the inaugural Blue Monday Live with over 100 paying customers, went away happy at the end, and it was held in the Curve Bar, and we were all there, and Stuart Watson and Andy Warren was also there as well, all doing a little bit, and I thought, you know what? I thought it was pretty good. Everybody said
great.
Positive things. People
great.
Bought some drinks.
Yeah, no, it was really nice. Yeah, certainly got a lot of great positive feedback. I think we've got to say, I know we said on the night, but a really big thanks, obviously, for all the organisation, to Ben. We know he puts a lot of hard work into events
Indeed,
like
yeah.
this. I mean, certainly, I've seen him, you know, his music events are incredible, and it was no less attention to detail at this event. Obviously, Shaylee for all her hard work and prompting on the night. And
they
the
were lovely, those cakes.
Course, fantastic. But Shaylee kept it all, which is Ben's other half, kept it all together and kept things moving brilliantly. And also Rich, who's looking after tech for us tonight on this, for his all his tech organisation on the night, which is also very, 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 very good.
Yeah, and I totally agree with him. But, you know, thank you for all those people who put their hands in their pocket and actually paid money to come and see us. And
it's absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Couldn't ask for more, really, Stat.
How many selfies did you have?
Three or four.
Yeah, 300 or 400. I thought people were queuing up. You know, with
you. No, I don't think so, mate. No,
I just sat. I sat in the corner by myself.
So did I, really. Just try to keep it low down. Ben made me laugh. Someone came up to Ben and said, "Can I have your selfie?" Ben said, "Yeah, fine." He said, "Oh, it's not for me. It's for my lad." I'm sure he said it's his landlady. She likes your hair.
I did that the other day with Corrie and Darber. Saw him outside Greg's.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
I went up to him and
I wouldn't have known.
Said, "Can I have a selfie?" Mm. And then I said, my son would love to see this.
Mm.
No disrespect to Corrie, who's fantastic, was captain of the under-23s on Monday. But
would your son really know who he is?
No.
I
was starstruck.
I class myself a fan, but I'm sorry, Corrie. I don't think I'd recognise Corrie and Darwa. I don't think I would, but there you go. You obviously did say. Oh, I take it this was Greg's Woodbridge Road East.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
lovely,
cool.
You know, sausage and bacon bap in the morning with a large latte. But you're more of a Victoria's Bakery man on Woodbridge Road?
Oh, man, Victoria's Bakery, Woodbridge Road is the absolute epitome, I think, of savoury pastries, to be fair, Stat.
Ooh. What would you go? What, chicken?
Oh, lordy, mate, they do a nice mince beef. They did a really good mince beef and onion pie I had from there a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
Have you had your dinner?
Yeah. Just said stir fry, mate. Very nice, mate. Yeah. Just quickly just threw it in, cooked it, and probably ate it far too quickly. So I'll probably suffer in a minute. But anyway.
Well, let's not suffer anymore.
Go on.
Because as you always do, your fantastic opening piece where you say the wins, the law, the draws, the losses. I'm glad that you do it, not me. I'll never get it right. The wins, the draws, and the losses. But this week, let's go for four wins. Don't know about you, but we haven't really had a win, let alone four. Well, we haven't had four wins this season.
We haven't had four wins. I was thinking today doing this, we really ought to do one or two more losses, I think, for a little bit of balance. But four wins tonight is really good, I think. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I thought we needed it just on the back of the feel good factor that that there is a road now. But let's stick some wins in there as well, just to balance it off with the draws and losses that we're having on the pitch.
So the first one I find incredible. We're going back almost 10 years to 10 years. How the hell can this match be 10 years ago? Can't believe it. Go on.
Did you go? I didn't. That was
no,
on TV.
It was on Sky. Yeah, it no, was. I didn't go. Yeah.
So just to set the scene, it was February 2009 on the Saturday, but the midweek before, Town played Forest at home, and there was a bit of a protest by some fans who wanted McGilton out.
Oh, Christ, yeah. Were you amongst those, that?
No, not at all. I was a big Jim McGilton supporter. And I remember when we played Doncaster later in that season. Ooh, I think it would have been Connor
game,
Wickham's debut.
We
lost 3-1. And at the end, there's loads of, McGilton's getting pelters. And I'm there going, yeah, well done, Jim. Keep it going, Jim. And Mrs. Statt turned around and she said, I think you're in the minority here. But certainly on the night when we played Forest earlier in the week where we are now, there was probably about 20 fans. They'd stole their mum's sheets and some crayons from.
Did you post something? Yes, did you post something on Twitter?
Yeah, I saw it.
I'd forgotten about that. I must admit, but yeah.
I'm glad that they were able to spell McGilton. That was that was the thing. I was a bit worried about that. So
they must have all been St Albans pupils, stat. Sure.
Oh, they're the worst.
Yeah,
they're not now. Fantastic. 21st of February 2009. So we just lost. We just beat Forest. McGilton's under a bit of pressure. It's a Saturday night. We're away to QPR at Loftus Road. Mm-hmm. Jim, obviously the under pressure manager, and his opposition manager was Paulo Sousa.
Yeah, he was. Christ, yeah.
You want to tell us a little bit about him as a player?
Played in Italy, didn't he? Let me get this right. Did he play for Fiorentina? Did you play Fiorentina?
He played in Italy, yeah.
Played in Italy. I should know more about Paulo Sousa. Ben, if it's Italian football, Ben would be all over this right now. He'd be telling you which club, he'd reel them off. But yeah, certainly played. I can remember him playing for Portugal in the certainly I think in the 2004 Euros and certainly games like that. So and perhaps when was it? Did they knock us out of the Euros and the World Cup? I mean, I can't really recall 4 and 6. I'm pretty sure he certainly played in one of those, perhaps the earlier one.
So we'll go through the Town lineup, and it's interesting. It's 2009, so 10 years ago. And you look at what I would call I thought you were lying down there for a bit. You are laid back and relaxed, but I thought tonight was a bit too much.
There we go.
Screen
adjustment.
The team we had was pretty good, actually.
Mate, I've exactly what I've written down here. I've found this is a pretty strong side. Look at this.
Yeah,
I think it is.
So we've got Richard Wright in goal.
Yeah.
David Wright.
Yeah, good player. Yeah.
Ben Thatcher at left back.
Okay.
and that was we'll never comfortable with. Okay, yeah. McCauley and Bruce.
Solid, isn't it?
Centre half. Yeah. Midfield four of Tommy Miller. David Norris, Luciano Chiavelli, and Alan Quinn.
Chiavelli, wow.
Up front.
I like this front too.
Yeah, John Stead and Pablo.
I like that front too a lot, actually. I really do. Yeah.
What do you want to say about Ben Thatcher?
I just never thought it was an odd sign. I just never thought he was an Ipswich type, you know what I mean, Ipswich type player. I mean, perhaps he came with a reputation. I mean, I think he only played like 20 games in the course of a couple of seasons, didn't he? Did he pick up an injury with us as well? I'm not sure.
He did, but I think he was soon bombed out by Roy Keane when he came in.
Yeah, he came with a reputation, didn't he? Was he one of the players that lived away or lived in London or something? Was he one of those? I mean, Roy Keane would have bombed him out anyway, probably. Yeah. But and he would. I think I got this right. He was one of the players that didn't want to move. Roy
Along
Keane,
with Lisby, yeah.
Yeah, that they live within, I don't know, half an hour of the training ground or whatever. I'm pretty sure he might have been one of those, but no, he wasn't Ipswich player. He's always going to be remembered for that that nasty incident with Pedro Mendes.
Oh, yeah. And to be honest with you, I was never happy, you know, who his mum was and what she did to the country and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, she absolutely ruined it.
But we're in better times now in this country.
Oh, yeah, Christ, yeah.
will we still do the pod if Brexit happens, or will there just be matches where we can't? Sure. We can only include two foreign players in the.
I think we're probably right. We might have to, a bit like my businesses now. We might have to apply for licenses and stuff. I'm not sure to well, include looking, more foreign players.
Looking at this team, I think we've got Pablo and Luke and Chiavelli as the. Are you a Chiavelli or a Civelli man?
I think I was a Chiavelli.
Yeah. So we've got Pablo and Luciano, our two foreigners in the team.
Yeah, it's a shame with him again. He was very much like, not quite as bad as Le Pen, who played a grand total of how long, for how many minutes for a stack?
I think he made three appearances. Most people think
We digress. He got injured that first game, but then he did make a couple more appearances after that, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't think he started. I think he made three sub-appearances.
But Chiavelli was really, I think Chiavelli was really good until he picked up that injury, which I think was in the game, was in that Burnley game.
It was Burnley, yeah.
I think Gio's home debut, wasn't it? Have I got that right?
Yeah, it would have been because Chiavelli never played a game under Roy Keane, mainly because he wasn't fit, and then he was released by Jewell out. So.
Well, it was. I'm pretty sure he got injured in that Burnley game, which was ridiculous. It was Gio's home debut.
Yeah, what a play! Can't you say? I still can't. No. Put my finger on why he ever came here. But do you think next season, if we're in League One, we could get a similar sort of young prospect, international prospect that played for Barca?
No, unfortunately not. No, that was incredible. I think that was all Dan, wasn't it? To Charlie Wood's relationship with. Whoever it was at Spurs at the time, it could have been Pleat, or it was general sort of director of football or something. I think that's to do with that. I think so.
Talking about young players breaking onto the scene, we're going to go through the QPR team, but there's one player I want to mention first of all, which is Wayne Routledge. Now, I don't know about you, but Wayne Routledge, what I remember about him was that he was on a TV program before he even broke into QPR. I think they followed the QPR or wherever he was, whatever academy he was.
Oh, wow.
He did stand out. I'm pretty certain. Yeah, Wayne.
All I think about Wayne Routledge, he's pigeon toes, isn't he? As he runs and his feet. He's very quick, but his feet point inwards. Yeah, I mean, and he's still at Swansea, isn't he? I think so. So he was sort of touted around as being a potential free transfer that we might be interested in. I'm not sure.
Not going to happen now. But it'd be handy, like you say, with his feet, how he was running, that he'd be like a mini snowplow. You know, if you need to clear the pitch.
He was in the team alongside,
And we can guess positions here. I've just kind of copied them down. So Camp is in goal.
Yeah, I think you can safely say that.
Yeah. Damien Delaney.
If I was like Camp, I think you pegged him there. Go on, who?
Oh, very good. Damien Delaney.
Shit, yeah, of course, yeah.
He was left back.
Who else they got? Oh, yeah, they got...
Shall I list them?
Yeah, he would have been left back, I think, yeah.
Yeah. Marn.
He's like Gavin Marn. Well, for the midfielder, sort of central midfielder, wasn't he? Yeah.
Hall.
On size. Yeah.
Love that. I forgot that nickname.
One size,
Ligetwood.
It's McKaylee Ligetwood, isn't it? Yeah.
Wayne Routledge.
Yeah.
Gawkes with the extra S.
Casper Gawkes, isn't it? Yeah. Casper Gawkes, yeah. So I think he would have played centre half, I guess, with old Fitz all, wouldn't he? I think.
Connolly.
Is it Matt Connolly? I think the old Arsenal player. Start with Arsenal, I think.
Cook.
Yeah, Lee Cook. I always liked Lee Cook.
Yeah, he was a good player.
Really tricky winger. Always liked him. Little left-footed player, yeah.
Is this Ishmael Miller?
I think that's Liam Miller.
Liam Miller.
Man U Celtic. Yeah, yeah. Good
player. He passed away about just over a year ago. It was his anniversary. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's him.
And De Carmonet.
I don't know this guy. I don't know who that is.
Well, we'll find out a bit about him in a minute.
I know. If you'd have said who scored in this game, I wouldn't. It doesn't mean anything to me at all.
Town were 10th in the league.
Just looking at him. So who have you got? Yeah, looking at the wide players, I'd assume he was a striker out and out through the middle, I'd have thought.
Now, the one thing, like you say, it was on TV, and when I watched the highlights for this pod, Jim is sitting up in the director's box sitting next to David Sheepshanks. I remember he did that a fair bit.
He did do that, didn't he? Yeah. I mean, I know some managers like to do that just to get a better overview, of the pitch, but I can recall him certainly doing it at Portman Road,
So I don't know whether within 3 minutes he was down on the touchline.
Knowing of him, I bet he was probably, yeah.
Great work from the youthful Routledge. He's in the right hand corner in front of the Town fans. And he's kind of twisting and turning and clearing the snow. Yeah. And he manages to get a low hard cross in, and the guy we don't know a lot about, and probably people will tweet us in and leave comments to say,
De Carmine or De Carmonet?
Well, if he's Italian, I'm going to go for De Carmonet. Hey. And I'm hearing in my earpiece that he's made well over 200 appearances for Italy, so no idea how we don't know who he is. but he guided the ball into the back of the net, and 3 minutes in, Town are 1-0 down.
Sky, of course we are.
The noisy minority, as Jim no doubt called them, probably would jeering and the Magilton out comments were starting.
Probably at that stage, yeah. So you're getting he didn't have long left, really, did he? 2 months, probably. Yeah, two months.
Yeah, 20. Yeah, it was about 2 months. I think it was the 21st of April. Yeah, 14 minutes later, Town get a goal back. Thatcher, he plays a high ball forward. There was a corner before. McCauley's gone up for the corner.
Yeah,
it's been cleared by QPR defence. Ends up with Thatcher just inside the centre circle. And he plays just sort of a hoofing pass. It goes to McCauley, who's still up from the corner. He heads it into the path of Norris. Norris has a good control. Goes past, I think, one player. And he drills it in hard and low. I think the first time player kind of jumps over, and it gets to Stead, who just puts it past Camp.
Yeah, good finisher, Stead. I like Stead. Good finisher. I always thought, just getting back to Thatcher, I'm never sure why Magilton didn't play him in that number 10 role.
No, I thought he'd have been on the right wing, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
So it's 1-1, and that was his 10th goal of the season, Stead. So like you say, he was a good player.
Yeah, I liked
it. Town then had a chance, and I love this. It frustrates me so much when players do not make the effort of closing down the keeper when they've got the ball. So Camp's got the ball, and as I put down here, he dwells on it. He's dwelling on it. He seems in no hurry. Yeah. Stead runs towards the ball, and he gets pretty close, and Camp's clearance hits Stead on the, I think, on his back, and it just loops wide.
Was it the home game this season against QPR? Just thinking about Stead, where he came on a sub, scored two. I think he came on, it might have been coming at half time, maybe even after half time, scored two and like hit the post for his hat trick. You remember that? I think we beat him about 3-0. Must have been round about same season, I'd have thought. Don't know.
Yeah, could Sorry, well, it probably quit. Was.
Yeah.
I can't multitask. I can't read this and think at the same time. So then Town have another chance. As a defensive header back by Fits what do you call one size? Pablo nips in, just under the radar, and he gets to the ball before the keeper, and he kind of back heels it in that continental style
he
had.
Back heel, didn't he, Pabs? Loved the back heel.
Comes out to Stead, who's probably about 25 yards out, and he drills it. First time effort, drills it low, but it just goes wide. But Town are certainly on the ascendancy as they go into half time, and that's how it finishes 1-1. 13,904 was the attendance at the game, as they mentioned, usually just after half time. Never a big crowd at QPR, is it?
No, still not. I don't think the capacity's grown much since then, do you? Don't think capacity can only be 17,000, 18,000, if that, still.
Yeah, not, but I do, Actually, I don't mind.
I quite like Rangers. Yeah. I mean, so it depends where you sit. Depends where you are. If you're really low, it's crap. But yeah, me away section. No, I like it there. Quite tight. Good atmosphere. I know, you know, when it's going and the place is rocking, you know, bloody hell, 13, 14, 15,000 feels like 30,000. Yeah, good atmosphere. Yeah, I like it there.
In the 61st minute, great work from the shaven-headed Canago. I think Ben Thatcher's been going around with his clippers and, you know, offering to cut the hair. So he's got a grade one all over. He wins the ball off of the defender. And, you know, some people used to accuse, and Roy Keane amongst them, that Pablo was a bit lazy. But I tell you what, he was tenacious sometimes, I think. And he certainly was here. He decided to get stuck in and get the ball off the defender. He beats two men as he's running towards the box, and he fires a rising shot past Camp, and that was his 50th goal for Town.
Yeah, in two spells or three spells with us, two.
Two.
How many times did we sign him? Yeah, two. Yeah,
I
loved him. I just thought he was brilliant. I really did like Canago. It's such a shame that, you know, and he had a lot. He still had a lot to give, I think, Ipswich. The crowd, everyone loved Pablo, didn't they? I mean, you get the occasional. I know you get the occasional. I'll geese around him. He's lazy stuff, but he's brilliant. I thought he was just brilliant, you know. And just a shame, you know, obviously had the fallout with Keynes. I think he still had a lot more to give, you know, and he loved the club. But clearly, you know, we follow him and stuff like that, and his tweets and stuff. He's still got a great affection for the club, hasn't he?
Last seen at FC Choco.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I was away on biz. Oh, it must be about 5 years ago. Just got into, where the hell? Malaysia, sort of. Kuala Lumpur, just got in, flicked on the TV. Oh, local football on, just flicked on. Hang on a minute, it's bloody Pablo. Fantastic, mate.
He got around.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah.
And then 9 minutes later, Walters is on for Chiavelli. Lisby's on for Stead, and Garvin is on for Canago. Walters, there's a great crossfield pass from Alan Quinn. He hits it about 50 yards, inch perfect. Walters is running into the penalty area, controls it in the air, and just blasts it past Camp. It's a beautiful goal.
I like Quinn as well. Again, he didn't really play that much for us. I don't know how many games that he played for us. Certainly not 50, was there? Do you think? No. Nah.
I'll put him around 50.
Yeah.
50, 60. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. Yeah. If you look at that team, how many of those really were regulars under Roy Keane, who became manager 2 months later? Alex Bruce was his captain for a bit.
Yeah, well, he certainly bombed. Well, Gareth McCauley,
obviously.
He bombed out David Wright fairly well within a season or so, didn't he?
David Norris.
He was all right. Miller didn't hang around much, did he? Obviously, Savelli, we lost him.
And David Wright at right back. And we still haven't really, 10 years on, got ourselves an established
right
back.
He was on the bench, Walters, that didn't happen. Lisby, because he wouldn't move. Yeah, he bombed pretty much every Garvin. Oh, Christ.
Garvin
bombed everyone out.
Didn't put a shift in, so. So Town reached 50 points and they're 10th. I don't know about you, but you kind of look back at those people with the their white sheets and the blue paint and think, well, careful what you wish for.
Well, all I was saying, we must have had a bad run, because obviously we know that the great Keane was appointed with three games to go, and we know he won his last three games.
No, two games to go. But being the Roy Keane specialist.
So Norwich was, Cardiff and Coventry. So we won our last three games of that season. Well, after this game, we were on 50 points. You quite rightly said, finished 10th. We only finished with 61 points. This is the 23rd of February, so we barely won a game between then and... so that's 9 points in the last three games of the season.
Yeah, exactly,
And I said, so we finished 2 points outside the playoffs. Just 2 points outside the playoffs after this game.
Yeah.
Finished 9th, 8 points short, 68 points, bloody hell. And this is it, you can see the writings on the wall. So lost the next two, Preston away, Southampton home, lost 3-0 at home.
Yeah, that was a bad one, yeah.
And then we got to Gio's, Wolves away, I think we drew. Then we got to Gio's debut. But then I made a note, home defeat, it was when you mentioned 3-1 to Doncaster, did for Jim, ?
Yeah, Doncaster, not Rotherham, Doncaster, that's right.
Yeah, I think that's right. Preston for Wolves, another season of Wolves that was. Finished 90 points, so romped it really in the end. And we finished Preston with a sixth place team.
Wow.
Yeah, Got a number one stat. I've got a number one. Oh. This is obviously more your era. How can I put it? Oh, I'm very afraid. I'm afraid.
Scared? Frightened?
Close.
Fright.
I wouldn't know it. It's a female singer with quite a famous dad.
Oh, Kim Wilde.
No. Quite a famous dad who's not famous for singing, but more comedy ish stuff.
Oh,
I'll give you a clue. He appeared on
need a lot of clues here.
He appeared on a football record as well, a well known football record. The greatest football record I'd say of all time, actually. He appeared on that. There you go.
Heard that. Anfield Rap.
Yeah. We all know what the greatest football record of all time, isn't it?
I mean, it is Anfield Rap, isn't it?
It isn't, clearly not, is it? We all know it's World in Motion, don't we? Come on.
Oh, so Lily Allen.
Hey. I didn't even know this song.
Tell me.
But then it's called The Fear.
Right, I'm going to have to listen to that.
No, I don't even know. I haven't listened
to
it.
Didn't mean anything.
Enjoyed that stat, as always. So next, I know this guy. Remember this one. Go on, tee it up. Where are we going next?
So it's the 22nd of February, 1994. We're at Tanner in the Premier League. It's a Tuesday night, kicking off at 7:45. Should we look at the crowd?
Just quickly, again for me, this game, I was at this game.
Yeah.
So if I felt that the QPR game was 10 years, this is 25 years ago.
Yeah.
It's just mental. Absolutely. And what's
also mental, I'll come to it quickly here. So we're in the Premier League. Now, yeah. if you're a statistician, you would never recognise Mick McGivern as the Ipswich Town manager. It was John Lyle. So I've put down here that John Lyle was the manager. But obviously, we had that strange thing where Mick McGivern sort of sat on the bench and Lyle kind of went upstairs for a bit, didn't he?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, that was, yeah.
So I'm going with John Lyle's Ipswich. And
oh, yeah, absolutely.
The man we'd love to hate before Colin was Dave Bassett.
Harry Bassett. Yeah.
We couldn't stand him. In fact, we couldn't stand him so much that it was a Premier League game and the attendance was 10,747.
What I remember about this game, I worked for a company called Conship, who are no longer in Ipswich. Conship House, you know, they were the first to really move in on the waterfront there, where, you know, they had the big old Maltins near the you know, the barge, the El Punto there, and they had a box in the Cobbold stand, and I remember going in there that night, and I was very glad I did because it was snow and it was a god awful night. Hence, yeah. I think the crowd under 11,000.
Yeah, the snow was on
orange
the pitch.
Orange ball, even maybe. Oh, this has got him.
I don't know if it was an orange ball.
This has got him. Ooh.
Yeah, this probably was the yellow. Time before the winter yellow ball. I keep thinking that we might have just gone with we couldn't have gone with a white ball because I can see the snow on the pitch.
And I reckon it might be orange, Stat.
Well, update the notes. Let's move on. So let's go through the
this is the sort of thing that gets him.
The little town detail. Team. Right, so Craig Forrest in goal. Mickey Stockwell and Neil Thompson, I believe, were the fullbacks.
Yeah, looking at that.
Then
we've
got Eddie Jones, John Walk, and David Linegan. So were we playing three at the back, or was one of those playing at right back, and Stockwell was...
Gotcha. Eddie Yow's probably of those. Eddie Yow's could have done. Yeah, good
Which
point.
Could have put Walk and Linegan at centre half.
Yeah, that I reckon you've nailed it, Stat. I reckon you've nailed it.
Geraint Williams in the middle. Now, he was there and he was trying to impress new Wales manager John Toshack to see if he could get back in the Wales squad. Stuart Slater, about a month after his, couple of months after he signed for us, was in the team. Yeah. Steve Palmer, the academic.
Yeah.
Ian Marshall and Chris Kawamya. Would you prefer Marshall and Kawamya or Stead and Canago?
Oh, that's tricky. Probably I'd like a combination of the two, really. I reckon Marshall and Pablo would be quite good together, ain't you? But that's a tricky one, that Stat. Yeah, I like all four of those. Yeah, I think I might have to go for Marshall and Kawamya, actually, no matter how much I like Canago. It's just for me, I quite enjoyed that era, really, yeah.
The halcyon days of the Premier League.
Well, yeah, there you go. Yeah. Although, yeah, we all know what happened this at the end of this season. But funny enough, Sheffield United were involved in that as well, weren't they?
They were. Sheffield United's team, Alan Kelly in goal.
Yeah.
I know. So, Bradshaw.
It's Carl Bradshaw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nielsen.
Is it Roger? I think it could be Roger Nielsen.
It is. My Roger first Nielsen. Thought was Dennis, but it is Roger. Yeah.
Yeah, because Dennis Nielsen, because I don't know if you follow the history pod, we have sometimes have teams with the names of former mass murderers in, don't we?
So, yeah, Peter Sutcliffe last the other week. Yeah.
Yeah, didn't we have Fred West one week, didn't we?
Quite probably, yeah. Possibly. Who we got next? Gannon. John Gannon.
Yeah, John Gannon. I know Jim Gannon. Jim Gannon. Cannon. I don't remember him that well.
No. Tuttle.
That's David Tuttle. Played for Spurs. Yep.
Gale. I'm sure you got
him. Yeah, Brian Gale. Yeah.
He was actually the captain for them.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, yeah. He was a good player for us, and I think at one point...
I think he was,
point,
yeah. Just did we not... was that not a bit of a fire sale? We sort of sold him in, needed the cash or something like, because I think we got like good money for him, didn't we? Like 800,000.
This is Ipswich Town, so every season's a fire sale. I remember when we signed him, he broke the then club transfer record, I think, of 350,000 or something.
I think
something.
You're right. And we made a good profit on him. I think we made something like $500,000 profit on him. Yeah.
This next player was a great player. Carr.
Quick when he friends Carr, so ex-Forest when he came through with Clough, express pace. But this next player, I just would not have said he was playing then.
Unbelievable, Jeff.
Does that give it away?
Yeah.
Unbelievable stat. Unbelievable.
Yeah. I'll just have a look behind me. Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah, Cammy.
I thought he'd been substituted, Jeff. Oh, brilliant. Cammy, fantastic. Yeah. Bloody hell. Yeah.
While we're talking about champagne players, like Cammy, they also had Cork.
He used to pop up everywhere, didn't he?
He did. Alan Cork.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they signed one of Robin Hood's merry men, Little John.
Yeah, I mean, it weren't fair when he said, patrol midfield with a bow and arrow, really, was it, really?
Exactly, yeah. Adrian Little John. Hodges.
Glyn Hodges, isn't it? Ex-Wimbledon player. Dynamite left foot.
Good player he was. So we go into the game, like I said, it was snow, and we start off at a fair pace. And within the second minute, Thompson's got a corner in front of the north stand. So pioneer corner flag, whichever that stand was back in at that point, plays in a corner with his left foot and powerful header. Linegan puts it back 2-0. Fantastic start. 6 minutes later, if you look at the highlights, you think, hang on a minute, have I just pressed back 20 seconds on YouTube or whatever?
2-0 up after eight minutes,
yeah. Another corner, same, exactly identical, but this time it goes to Walkie at the far post, and he heads it into the ground, and the ball is stabbed in by Marshall. All you can say from about 1 yard out.
Stabbed in from 1 yard, yeah.
Poaches
he didn't miss goal. There, did he?
So we're 2-0 up, and we're facing Sheffield United, who are second bottom at this point. We're riding high in mid-table of the Premier League.
Yeah.
We're riding high mid-table of the Premier League. I just wanted to just say that again. And then 23rd minute, United get one back. Glyn Hodges crosses the ball just in front of the cobbled stand, and Cork pops up and guides his header.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Whether you need a VPN to protect your world online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So there's a bit of fizz there. pulling out jokes when sometimes
fizz,
I should
fizz
stop.
The header. Fizz,
yeah,
the,
fizz yeah. The header. Yeah.
Shook everybody up and fizzed in a header. Yeah.
But that doesn't stop Stuart Slater. Great work at the beginning of this move by Slater. And we can talk about him in a minute, about when he came. But he wins the ball just inside his own half and takes it across the halfway line, passes the ball to Marshall, who then's got a fine return pass to Slater as he runs into the box and he beats Kelly at his near post. I think Kelly should have done a little bit better, but that was Slater's first goal since
Slater's finest moment in an Ipswich shirt, without doubt. I think he just didn't. Well, we'll go press. Yeah. We'll,
yeah, no, I agree. But he won. He won goal. This was the Ipswich Town goal of the season.
Cruel. Well, he only scored. Well, I made a note. He only scored 35 all season. Christ, he might get more than that this season, actually. But obviously, played more games this season. But yeah, it was. He just flattened. He was never quite. Again, he was another one of these players, like perhaps who compare him to Nolan, who maybe this season who threatens to be really, really good and looks like Slater even more so, and just never quite delivered. But obviously, you know, certainly this season, certainly to the end of this season, and we all know the next season was just a bloody disaster, and he just didn't, you know, we were getting battered every, I mean, 9-0 and stuff like that every not every week, but you know, games like that, you know. So
I had a lot of time for Slater. He was in. He played for us at the wrong time.
Oh, I can imagine. Had he stayed another season or two, in the first division, can you imagine him sort of providing, you know, whip for? I mean, Marshall and Matthew scored for fun anyway that first season down. But can you imagine him playing in that team, for God's sake?
Because he was a great player at West Ham, and Liam Brady forked out a fair bit of money to take him to Celtic.
Oh Christ, he was a protege at West Ham when he came through the West Ham Academy or youth system back then, and he was the next big thing, and I think he was at West Ham, played a lot of football for West Ham, so 100 well over 100 games for West Ham. And he was the next big thing. It didn't quite sort of kick on. Again, I think he might have got an injury quite young at West Ham, didn't quite kick on. But you're right, Liam Brady bought him, obviously thought enough. Well, he was at West Ham for a bit, obviously thought, I think he ended his career at West Ham, and obviously thought enough of him to take him to Celtic.
Two things about Stuart Slater. One, I was often, well, I think I read it once that he held the Keep You Up record. I'm not sure whether that's true or not.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
And he lived in Sudbury, and whilst he was playing for Town, on the side of his house, he had the two hammers, the West Ham hammers, bricked onto the side.
Seriously?
Yeah, I think that's true. To be honest with you, though, people have told me things in the past. Have you ever been to Devon?
Of course I've been to Devon.
You know Lundy Island?
God, I know Lundy Island really well.
Yeah, so when I went down there and I was about 14 on an outward bound course with school, one of the guys told me, and I actually believed it for about 15 years after, that the island...
It was our version of Alcatraz or something. No, what did they say?
The island apparently at night used to come into the harbour, so they had to get the tugboats to pull the island out. And I believed that for about 15 years.
Yeah, I know it really well. I've always meant to, because I've been down there. We go down there every sort of other year or so. I love it down there, North Devon. But I've never actually been across there. I will do it one day. Yeah.
Well, make sure you do it whilst the island is
there. I will once
there.
It's in, because it's much closer once it's in.
That's very true.
Where does it come in? Like Ilfracombe or Biddeford or something like that? It's towed into Biddeford or Ilfracombe.
Ilfracombe, definitely.
Ilfracombe, okay.
So, Stuart Slater, he he told me that Lundy Island. No, I don't know who it was.
Where we got to this? Oh, yeah. Strange things people told you. Sorry.
I tell you one thing I liked about Stuart Slater is he had a really nice white Golf GTI with a red leather roof, sort of, you know, convertible. Yeah, always stood out there. So we go in at halftime 3-1 up, and I guess we all went off for a Bovril or whatever. You on the gin still? You need to.
That's quite warm, mate. No, I certainly. I don't think I've had a Bovril. I was in the box, so I was probably had it. You probably was still on the gin in the chip corporate box. You're right. Yeah.
You live a different life to me at Portman Road.
25 years ago, Stan.
Yeah, it was nice to see you on Saturday. You were actually sitting in your usual seat.
Well, I was sitting in my usual seat Saturday. Yeah, I did say hello afterwards as you made your way out, but of course you ignored me as usual.
Didn't see you, sorry. So it's second half, and I think, you know, we're 3-1 up, and one thing that we don't want to happen is to give away a goal. The next goal is crucial. And then Craig Forrest got a good punch out from a corner, and it falls to Carr, who's they're now attacking the north stand. He's on the right side of the pitch. He does brilliantly well to cut inside, and he unleashes this shot that beats Forrest from 25 yards out. But fortunately, after that, the game did fizzle out, and we won 3-2.
We held on. So I did some digging on this season, man. That was our first win since the famous Gary Megson own goal. So that was the 18th of December, and we only would win two of the last, counting that game and this one, and then a away win at Villa, I think, which was a week or so later. We won two of our last 21.
But still, and didn't get relegated.
And well, thanks to Sheffield United, or thanks to Mark Steen, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Go on, you can talk
well,
about
I'm just
this.
Saying, if Sheffield United, if we'd have drawn this game, Sheffield United got one back and it ended 3-3, we'd be down.
Yeah. I mean, did you go? Were you at the? I mean, we finished with a 0-0 draw at Blackburn. Were you at Blackburn?
I was there.
Christ.
And this was the time, you know, forget phones and stuff like that. This is when you had like, turn into me dad. You know, you had like transistor radios, and you were kind of listening.
Ghetto blaster.
Yeah. Every now and again, though, but you do get it at football sometimes, don't you? That you sit near somebody who wants to tell you what all the scores are.
Chinese whispers. It's always worse. Those games at Portman Road. Those last games. Portman Road in regular season when we had a chance to go up, and we were always pipped by either Bradford
Man City
or
losing or something.
Man City losing 6-2. Yeah. It's only 10 minutes gone.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, stuff like that. So,
but don't you find
down. So when the match had finished, as the score stood in live real time, we were down, weren't we?
We were down. Yeah, it was Mark Steen with a near post shot, I think, that kept us up, and then the blade slipped below the line.
Yeah.
And, you know, neither of us have looked back.
I thought, it's going to be... I'll tell you what I've put here. I've actually put a comment. Would it have not been better that season if we had have gone down, given the debacle of the next season and the embarrassment, obviously, of the 9-0 and things like that? I still maintain we should have gone down that season. You know, two out of the last 21, we should have gone down. But that was the season, obviously, we had the brilliant start. We were top after about four games, weren't we?
Yeah, Ian Marshall was on fire. But what I would say is, you know, if you're saying this was like a sliding doors moment, you know, not getting relegated, I think if we had got relegated, we probably never would have had George Burley as our manager.
Point. Yeah, very good point.
I've got the programme.
Oh, go on. Go on, nice one. There we go.
It's got an unusual cover. Hang on, I've got to always work it out.
It looks like Milts. Is that Milts? Yeah,
Milts, Linnigan. Mims. Dave Bingham. Oh,
Dave Bingham, isn't it? Is that Marshall? Is that on the deck?
Marshall. He was always injured. Just having a look at the back of and looking at some of the players we didn't mention for Sheffield United.
Go on.
Justine Flo.
Okay, yeah, I think that's one of the Flo brothers. that includes Tor Andre, and also I think he's related. I don't think it's his brother to Harvard Flo that used to play for Wolves, I think.
Yeah, great knowledge there.
Thanks,
having a quick flick through from the bench, Mick McGivern, not very exciting. We received this picture, I'll show you in a minute, of Aaron Joyce, sent in by his aunties and uncle.
Yeah.
So he had lots of aunties and one uncle, by the way.
I see, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, hang on. He's aunties and uncle, Kirsty, Stuart, and Paula Ashman from Clacton-on-Sea.
And these people are never from Ipswich.
No. He's a bit young to start attending matches, but he's already decided that his favourite player is Mickey Stockwell. And there he is with a little picture of... When I grow up, I want to be Mickey Stockwell.
Well, he's probably taller than Stockwell there, to be fair.
Yeah, I reckon, yeah.
offence, Mick.
No offence. So let's have a look at the mascot.
Did they do mascots then? I bet in the 90s, getting into the mid-90s, there was no home address then. No way.
No. But you'd be pleased to know that this person doesn't live in Ipswich either. To follow form. So our mascot tonight is 10-year-old Zilla Pearson, Zillah, from Royston in Hertfordshire.
Well, I make pancakes.
She attends Ed Winstrey School.
Uh-huh.
And she tells us that she enjoys watching Ipswich Town play very much. And her favourite players at Portman Road are Ian Marshall and Paul Mason. And we hope Zilla enjoys her evening as an Ipswich Town mascot. And she looks very, very happy here.
Oh, she does, doesn't she? Yeah. Yeah, look at
great
that.
Great kit she's got on as well.
Yeah. So she was, how old was she then?
10.
So 35.
We've got the, one of my favourite pages is the sponsors.
Oh, I love it, yeah.
A little bit different then. But we have the excellently named
Leo
Muff, who sponsored John Walk for years.
Oh, he did.
Leo Muff,
yeah.
Of Switzerland.
Leo Muff. Love Leo Muff.
Other people that we were having a look at, Ian Marshall was sponsored by Low House Touring Caravan Park.
He wasn't, though, was he?
No, he wasn't. No. Suffolk College. Steve Palmer. We've been great.
I see where you're going with that. Go on.
Yeah, you're already ahead of me.
Surely Steve Palmer should have been sponsored by Suffolk College, surely, to be appropriate.
They hadn't really thought about this, had they?
Some academic establishment.
Simon Milton was sponsored by the Green Dragon Thetford and the Black Horse Thetford.
Well, yes, where he's from, yeah. Thetford,
Phil
yeah.
Whelan, he was a bit of a smart guy, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, he was, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's sponsored by Ensor's Chartered Accountants.
Yeah, that's a pretty good shout, yeah.
Look at this picture of Scoey.
He's very young there, isn't he?
He's very young there.
He's very young, yeah.
So, yeah, I always like looking at that. And you've got lots of individuals who sponsored people. I think Craig Forrest Shorts was sponsored by Staggered Colt Disco.
Oh, Staggered Colt, yeah. That was a real well-known disco back in the day.
Bit about Sheffield United, not very interesting.
Because you were telling me earlier that you used to sponsor the occasional bit of kit.
I did. I sponsored...
Did you sponsor David Linegar's jockstrap or something?
That was gone already. That was what I was hoping to go for.
Yeah.
So I had to go for... Boncho Genchev socks, which cost 35 quid for the season. And you got your name
story
in the program.
About this, though. I do know this. I was leaning, you've got a bit of a story about this, though. And you didn't. You've got her own up now. Come on, Stat.
I have, yeah. So you sponsor it and you get your name in the program and you get your name on the scoreboard. And I gave him 35 quid for that.
Oh,
then one day, being a bit of a groupie, hanging around after the matches, I bump into Boncho. And I'd already seen him before and mentioned that I was his sponsor. But clearly, his Bulgarian or his understanding of my English was not that great. So a couple of games after, I'm hanging around again, and then Boncho comes out of the players' lounge with this guy, and he looks like he's got some sheepskin, big, fluffy, you know, coat that people probably in Bulgaria wore because it's really cold. And he comes across, and then Boncho says, let me introduce you to this man. He is my sponsor. He sponsors
Dutch.
Me.
Dutch again. Yeah, close, for sure. Close, he's my sponsor, for sure. Yeah.
They're all in the EU, and he then misunderstood, and he thought that I was actually like Boncho's big, like, sponsored everything, and he gave me his business card and said we must have a chat at another point. And I thought it was 35 quid on a pair of socks, mate. I daren't say that to him.
But hang on, did Boncho drive off, and was it Statman at Renegade Statman across his car?
Yeah, could have had that on the side of his.
Oh, that was
car.
Pre-stat. That was before your stat pseudonym, of course, wasn't it?
It was. There's nothing else exciting in here, but there's got a bit about youngsters with Tony Dable.
My old PE teacher at Chantry.
Yeah.
Great bloke.
Is he still with us? I don't mean that, but I don't know. I know.
I'm sure he is. Yeah, I'm sure he is.
Good stuff. He brought
Facebook or something. Yeah. He brought Dizelle through and players like that from school and that. Yeah.
But one of the players they've got is, well, actually, see if you can guess who this player is.
Or you take it out. Is that focus?
Well, I can only work with the kit that Ben gave me, so. Even when it's in focus, I still look.
This is 93, 94.
Went on to play in Europe for Ipswich, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
The hell is that? No,
I can zoom out and you can see his name. Slowly. To zoom back in again.
My God, no way. Let's have a look for that again.
Wayne Brown.
Oh, okay. My God, he filled out a bit, didn't he?
He certainly
did.
I can see
that now. Bloody hell. That's a great spot.
And the referee was Mr. Keith Burge of Tony Pandy.
Tony Pandy.
Right, Dave. Love that. Do you want to go to the next game?
Love that. Yeah, I had a number one, but it's boring one, so I'm going to leave that. Right. So, next game. Go on. Set this one up, Stat.
It's a 3 o'clock kickoff.
It is.
Saturday afternoon, so it can't be a big tie because you never have a big match now on a 3 o'clock on a Saturday. So it's a little game between Bobby Ferguson's Ipswich Town and Ken Brown's Norwich City. So 3 p.m. on a Saturday.
Painful memories.
The League Cup, sponsored by the Milk Marketing Boards.
It was.
Semi-final.
Yeah.
First leg.
Yeah.
On a Saturday, 3 o'clock.
I know. Who'd have thought it? Who'd have thunk it?
Previous round, we beat QPR in a replay. Did you go to that?
Did, yeah. I think it kicked off big time. Yeah. I think we played QPR. I'm sure Jules would have been there. I seem to remember we played QPR two seasons running in the league and or Milk Cup at Portman Road. And both occasions it kicked off. Yeah, both evening games. Yeah.
Do you reckon that kicked off because, you know, that we took the mickey about the size of their crowds and stuff like that?
Yeah, mate, you only get 13,900. Yeah, maybe. Four. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Town hadn't played since the 2nd of February.
No. 84-8. So, I can remember this season quite well. It was, quite bad weather. After Christmas, that Christmas 84, it was pretty bad weather. Yeah,
I mean, the interesting thing is, if you look in January, we played Norwich City, Bristol Rovers in the Cup, West Ham in the league was postponed, Arsenal in the league was postponed.
Yeah,
actually, this is rubbish. This disappoints me. Look at the program, right? I'm going down here reading. If people are saying, why is he reading it out like that for January the 1st, Norwich City? January the 5th, Bristol Rovers FA Cup third round. January the 19th, West Ham United postponed. January the 12th.
What?
Arsenal away, postponed. 23rd January, QPR in the Milk Cup, 0-0.
Yeah.
Then the 26th of January, we played Gillingham in the FA Cup and beaten 3-2.
3-2, yeah.
And then on the 28th, we played QPR in the Milk Cup replay. So no wonder we didn't play that often, because we seemed to play about 12 games that month in January.
Oh, mate, I totaled it up. I mean, we'll get to it at the end, but we were embroiled in cup. Unlike now, we were embroiled in cup action.
So let's go through the team. Let's go through the Town team and look at how it's kind of transformed. It's 1985. It's 4 years since our previous.
Again, looking at this is a strong team. This is a strong team, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not. Obviously, it's not the team that this. Yeah, I mean, it's still got a lot of the components of the team that of that team, really. Go on.
Cooper in goal.
Yeah.
Burley and McCall as your fullbacks.
Yeah, they'd have played. Yeah.
Terry Butcher alongside Ian Cranson. Now, some of our listeners probably won't remember Ian Cranson.
I like Ian Cranson. Yeah. Came through. Butcher really took him under his wing and came through. Big, powerful. Centre half, went out a good career, I think, left us Sheffield Wednesday,
yeah.
A lot of football for Sheffield Wednesday.
Did he wear a headband? You know,
yeah, like I think I've seen him remember he did. Real competitor, tough. And yeah, certainly played England under, certainly played England under 21, under 23. Didn't get a full cap, but yeah, good strong player. And certainly, yeah, what a player to come through the ranks, to make your debut with Butcher, to bring you through, fantastic.
And four great. Well, let's have a look. Romeo Zondervan, Trevor Putney,
yeah.
Mark Brennan,
liked him, didn't you? Brennan was.
Brennan was a great player.
Silky, wasn't he?
Everybody forgets this, and there's a stat that I stumbled across. But when Jason Dazelle came off the bench to
score
become the youngest goal scorer, Mark Brennan in the same game had actually broken the record, the 18-year-old record. Sadly, I made a note of their ages when they scored goals, and I looked back, and no one knew that.
Amazing.
He had it for about 17 minutes or something, the record.
I think so. Well, what look at that. It's Zondervan, Putney, Brennan. So, yeah, Dazelle, midfield, that is.
Yeah. And then Gates and Mr.
Bray. So, it's 4 years after, 4 years after the UEFA Cup, you've still got Cooper, Burley, McCall, Butcher, so it's four. De Vrij, six. De Vrij and Gates, still got six players from that team.
Do you think you know, Mitch De Vrij was a great player, but you know, was he part of that great team? I mean, he played when we didn't have whenever Tyson or Muren was.
But no, he was part of that squad because he was. I don't know, I can recall him scoring goals. That's certainly a goal that season. I remember he scored a really good goal. Header to beat Liverpool when Liverpool were running away with it one season. We were struggling. Might have been the first, maybe been this season. I don't know.
Birthday today.
Yeah. He was at Portman Road Saturday, wasn't he?
Yeah. It's his birthday. And there's his
48 goals. Yeah. Wow. Look at that, mate. Look at that. Play for youth, reserves, and first team in the same week. Tell you what, that's pretty good going, isn't it?
57. So happy birthday to Mish De Vrij.
Great. I liked him. Say great play.
Mr. Ray, when they used to go, Mish, Mr. Ray. Did you have to do it in a South African accent? Because I always did. I didn't know whether that was because he was born in Johannesburg.
Because he was born in Joburg. No, no, you didn't. Yeah.
Well, used to put on a South African accent.
I reckon that might be your best one.
Diplomatic immunity.
Diplomatic immunity.
Yeah. Right.
Go on. So who's playing for them up the road anyway, Stat? Go on.
Chris Woods.
Ooh,
yeah. John Devine.
Yep. Ex-Arsenal.
Dennis Van Wyk.
I'll say Van Wyk, but go on. We'll agree to differ.
Yeah. I'll go with you and your knowledge at this time. Steve Bruce.
Yeah. Before we went to bigger things. Yeah.
Peter Mendham. He was a good player for them, wasn't he?
Yeah, local. They were sort of ginger-haired lad. Yeah.
Midfielder, was he?
Yeah.
So Bruce would have been in defence with Dave Watson.
Yeah, this is a thing. This is an interesting. Because obviously Dave Watson playing alongside Butcher. And this was always a big bone of contention for many Town fans.
Yeah, totally.
When Butcher was finally sold, did he not go for something like 600,000 or something like that?
Yeah, 700,000, yeah.
And Watson left Norwich and went to Everton for like a million. Then he was just short of a million or something like that. And they were saying, for God's sake, there's an example of how we're selling ourselves short, Butcher having played at that point, or at least probably 50-odd games for England, for Christ's sake. Ridiculous.
Mark Barham. I've noticed that a few of their names are just like Norfolk Villages, possibly. Mendham, you can imagine. Yeah, Barham.
It's S.I. Claydon. Yeah, Barham. Yeah, again, he's a local Norfolk lad, just Claydon.
No, you're right to correct me that Barham is not in
Norfolk.
Sorry, mate.
You're thinking of Banham. You're thinking of the zoo, aren't
you? Oh, yeah. Mick Channon.
A lot of experience there,
John Dean,
would
come on, would come to town a few years later.
I'd do well,
Didn't even realise that this guy played for Norwich. Hartford.
Did he not have the? Did he? Oh, we'll get to that. But when? Well, yeah, because it was spoiler. We'll get to this at the end. Yeah.
And local lad, Louis Donoher.
School lad, yeah.
So, Town hadn't played since the 2nd of February, and they're quite keen to. Get out of it. A quick start. So it's the sixth minute when the goal comes.
Well, it's unusual in itself that it's a League Cup semi-final, and this is how the fixtures have gone all haywire, because they're playing it on a Saturday afternoon, which is a bit odd, isn't it, back then? It just, League Cup games always be played during the week. So this was an oddity in itself. And I think purely it's because of, well, one, because of obviously the postponements, and our, we must have had a fixture backlog, because we'll get onto that in a minute. But yeah.
Do you remember the goal?
I do, yeah. It's a sort of De Vrij header that just sort of creeps in, doesn't it?
Yeah, free kick from Burley. He floats it in, and De Vrij heads home.
Yeah, quite early on as well, first 10 minutes, yeah.
The most annoying thing on YouTube is if you try and look for this game, you're bombarded with the second leg. And there was a couple of times where I went in thinking that I was looking at a YouTube match of the two legs, and very, very quickly I was like, whoa!
De Vrij, of course. I mean, just quickly, we spoke about De Vrij, and De Vrij nearly lost his life in the South. I mean, not being too dramatic, I think he got concussed badly, clash of heads, I think with Bruce, I think it was, and went down and concussed and started to swallow his tongue, I believe.
But then they walked him off the pitch. Because you see pictures of him being walked off, and I'm thinking,
he's groggy,
well,
surely, yeah.
Did you not have stretchers back then, Dave?
I don't think that'd happen in this day and age. You know, the old health and safety wasn't quite what it is now.
Walk it off, Mitch.
Walk it off. You'll be all right. But no, and that really did for us. I think it was certainly a big presence.
Do you remember anything about Romeo Zondervan's effort that was adjudged not to have crossed the line?
I don't know.
League Cup semi-final against our biggest rivals. It could be the fact that we were, you know, prepping for Blue Monday Live, but I couldn't really find a great deal out about this game. You know, 27.
No, I don't think it was. I think you're right. The second leg was the one that really, you know, because obviously we know what happens in the second leg. We're sort of kicked. I think we are. I mean, De Vrij was an accident, but I think we were sort of pretty much bullied out of the second leg and kicked and stuff like that. And I think Dean got a stupid deflection goal, covering the second leg quickly, and then bloody, we know how Bruce sort of quite near the end headed one in, and they took him to Wembley. But yeah, but talk about fixture. I mean, this was when we used to take obviously the cups quite seriously this season. Yeah. Again, I think we were struggling. I think we were struggling ultimately in the league, but we played 14 cup games that season. We got to the cup quarter final, lost to Everton. And obviously the cup semi-final, two legs here, and then replays along the way. Everton was, I know we lost in a replay at Everton. So 14 cup games. So I think what we would give for that, obviously it was first division, the top division then, but what we'd give for Christ, half of that now, seven cup games, or even more than two.
Well, we were in 20th place there, and Norwich were 11th.
Yeah.
So we had 22 points from 24. Norwich had 36 points from
this was
26.
This was one weird season. I know we're talking about the cup here, but this was the weird season where, talk about the division was concertinaed up. I mean, we finished 17th on 50 points, and the third place team, which I think was obviously Norwich, were relegated in third from bottom with 49 points, and Newcastle finished 14th with 52. It was 3 points separating, something like 21st. It was incredible. Norwich, talking about hangover after the League Cup. So we all know Norwich then obviously beat us in the second leg, went on and beat Sunderland in the final to win some, you know, the Milk Cup, for God's sake.
That's what it is.
Oh, Christ, I've won better than that on a Sunday morning, probably. Talk about hangover. So they won the League Cup on the 24th of March. And following that, played 13, won 3, drew 2, lost 8, including a spell of games from the 6th of April. They lost 8 out of 9. So we'd like to think a revenge. Including that, in that, was a 2-0 win, which I remember quite fondly. And I know Butcher, who took the semi-final defeat, horrifically, terribly. I mean, kicked in dressing room doors and all sorts. I remember him scoring a goal in that game and going absolutely mental. But we, skin of the teeth again, we stayed up, as you can see, 50 points, like the last season we covered 10 years later. But including that was, again, I wasn't there, but I remember, was a 3-2 away win at Spurs. You finished third. So that was, you know, imagine that. You know, that's a game you draw it or lose that game, which we're obviously expected to, you're down again. So, very, very skin of the teeth stuff, very near the mark that season. But, Norwich always seemed to, ages since we've beaten them now, but certainly in cup games back then, Norwich always seemed to have the edge on us in cup games.
Yeah.
Always. Other than the one I think we covered, the one where we won 3-1. Do you remember at Carrow Road when you get...
Yeah.
mooring off the underside of the bar. I remember, I think a season or so before this, we played them in the fifth round of the cup and Birchin scored. They beat us 1-0. I think Birchin scored for them. So, yeah, there's a lot to think about when I grew up. Cup games against Norwich, they always seem to have the edge on us, unfortunately.
Don't forget the Texaco Cup.
Oh, of course. And of course, the Texaco Cup. Other than that, yeah.
As I alluded to earlier, I've got the programme.
Go on.
Now, did you ever call Bobby Ferguson Fergie? Have you ever heard that?
He wasn't a Fergie, was he?
Yeah.
Nah.
I thought it was a bit odd. But we do have a mascot. And the thing about the mascot is...
Is he from Ipswich?
They are from Ipswich.
Yes!
We're going to find him. So, he's nine years old. His name's Matthew Wellham. At some point, I'm expecting you to go, oh, I know Matthew Wellham. I work with him.
Not Matty Wellham.
He lived at number 40 Goodwood Close in Ipswich. Goodwood Close is off Defoe Road.
Oh, yes, it is. Of course it is. Yeah, Epsom Drive. Yeah, up there. Yeah.
And so hang on a minute. If he was nine in 85.
34 years ago.
Because Richard Wright was born in 77. I thought he lived on Defoe Road. He could be one of Richard Wright's mates.
Mate, you got bloody Poirot, you are stat. You're bloody incredible, mate. So that would make him...
The grey cells.
That would make him 43, then.
Yeah. Do you want to see a picture of him?
We recognise him.
He's a pupil at Castle Hill Junior School, and he tells us that his favourite town player is striker Mr. Ray, and his ambition is to be a professional sportsman. So we'd like to know, Matthew, if you did that. And he was also... He played football for the 4th Ipswich Boys Brigade.
The old BP, yeah.
And he'll be wearing some stockings and stuff for the souvenir of the day. Yeah. And here is a picture of
Bobby Ferguson.
Wellham. Not a bad picture.
Okay, mate, yeah.
He looked a bit nervous there with the camera back then.
He doesn't, slightly, yeah. But you know, I think hopefully he was all right on the day. You say you've got more than one stat. You got another one, did you say? Two?
No, I've got one there.
Okay.
The Centre Spot restaurant are taking reservations if you fancy ringing Rex Osman on 213-201.
We haven't done this tonight. What about films? Got any films?
Yeah, I know you like the films, don't you? And we've got a bit about an old player talking about previous games. Not going to go into that. Supporters Club news. There's a thing about a quiz tape which took my eye. And it's the light in here. So it's not my eyesight, but yeah, the winners of the Gillingham Match quiz tape competition, do you know about this?
No.
Was once again Mr. R. Parker of Needham Market, whose card came out of the hat first. I can read, I just hasten to add.
Yeah.
Read that again. Mr. R. Parker of Needham Market, whose card came out of the hat first, once more with the correct answers of Johnny Reggae by the Piglets. Jumping Jack Flash by the Rolling Stones. Hats Off to Larry by Del Shannon.
Oh, Del Shannon, yeah.
Robert De Niro is Waiting by Bananarama.
Bananarama, yeah.
So he gets two tickets to the Gaumont Cinema, and he deserves a special quiz tape. So listen out tonight for what the theme is. So I'm guessing that they must have played some music maybe before the game. And you had to guess what the songs were.
Oh, right. Okay.
I
never used to get there early enough. That's a problem. Still don't.
Crowd's up 3%. Mick recalls that
Texaco Cup. Yeah, I certainly went to the home leg. Yeah. Yeah. Massive crowd. Probably at the time, the biggest crowd I'd ever been in, probably.
Daryl does his sort of, this is where he was influenced. It's the Ipswich-Norwich connection. I think they kind of come up with players that could have played for both.
Oh, Peter Morris there, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't like local derbies, says Jerry Harrison.
Okay.
I thought, was he a Norwich fan?
Don't think so. No, I just thought Jerry Harrison was pretty impartial. Obviously my memories of Jerry Harrison was match of the weekend when Ipswich were... You know, always lording it above Norwich.
You know what I don't like?
What don't you like?
When I was young, and I never realised how important these things were, so I've just noticed that I did a bit of the crossword.
Oh, no.
I can't believe that. Which ones did I get?
What have you done?
14 across.
Go on.
QPR don't have any to cut.
Grass,
there you go. But you'll be pleased to know that we have got the ABC Cinema and Gaumont Cinema.
Yes, come on. Where were you on? 84, 85. Ooh.
Oh, yeah. There's a film. We must have covered one of these games because on ABC 3, recently, is An Officer and a Gentleman.
Oh, we covered it. We said that before. Yeah. It's the president was re-released or something. Yeah.
Three films. One's a really famous film. Go on. I think the cover is kind of like this. It might not be. he was a police officer at a very well thought of place in New Los Angeles, near Hollywood. That's where all the rich people used to live, and he used to solve the crimes.
Oh,
he used to say, "Get something out of here."
Yeah. It's Beverly Hills Cop. No,
you sure?
Yeah.
I was hoping to push you towards Beverly Hills Cop 2, but no, it's Beverly Hills Cop.
I see. Yeah.
The next two you won't get if we're here for a million years.
I might do. Go on.
Do you want any clues?
Well, I don't know.
I'm not even going to give you a clue. Go the on. One, the Hotel New Hampshire.
Oh, Jesus. No, never heard of it. Yeah. And, was that the clue? Or was that the film?
That was the film. That was an 18, so you probably watched it.
Well, and the other one that sounds a bit scary. No.
Another 18, and that was called The Man from Hong Kong. Stupid film titles, are they? So that was ABC Cinema. Now, The Gaumont, I'd have gone there, to be honest with you.
Go on. That must have been one of the last bloody 84. It must have been one of the last years of the ABC. Must have been.
Two big, big films here.
Blockbusters,
yeah.
Go on.
One, I put on my boots, my coat, and my motorcycle.
Oh, Terminator.
Yeah. I don't know why he's from Wales. And the other one was...
Give me my shoes, boy, and my coat. And your bike.
And that was an 18. I never realised that was an 18.
Yeah, probably.
And the other one was a PG.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well, I can't get it.
Okay. It was a family blockbuster.
Yeah.
There was a sequel to it. I think it was remade recently, where all of the main characters were played by female actors.
Okay,
and it was famous for the line of, "He slimed me."
Oh, Ghostbusters. No.
Sure.
Yeah. Ghostbusters 2, isn't it?
No, it's Ghostbusters. You should have gone with that. Ghostbusters. And then live on stage.
Oh, yeah, like this.
There's no one I've ever heard of.
Go on.
Diane Solomon and Pete Sayers.
Yeah, I think they're like country type singers, yeah.
Uli Roth.
No, I don't know who that is.
Mike Harding. He was a comedian.
And Mike Harding was a comedian. Yeah, the Rochdale Cowboy. Yeah.
Rose Royce.
Oh, Rolls Royce. Well, wow, man, yeah. You know Rolls Royce. Car wash. Wishing
at
on a star.
Car wash.
That's Rolls Royce.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's it.
I'm going to go with Yar Warriors.
Oh, Jar Warrior?
Oh, Jar. Well, it's got Yar Warriors, but maybe that was a splinter.
Well, probably was, because Jar Warrior was an Ipswich band, but I'm not sure they were about
it. It is, because this program does have a couple of printing... mistakes.
I don't know. I'm not sure they were still going back then. They were like they were out sort of reggae band when punk was around and stuff. Jar Warriors. So I'm not sure they were still going then. But
Rita,
nice one, mate.
I haven't finished. Rita Coolidge.
Rita Coolidge. Yeah, American singer. Yeah.
Vic Damone.
Yeah, country American. Yeah.
King. Is that King? Love and Pride. King.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah. Paul King. Yeah.
Freddie Starr.
Ate My Hamster.
Yeah. And Sky.
I don't know. So, was that John Williams? I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, don't know about it.
The officials were David Hutchinson, the referee. He was a police inspector back when they had. Do the Premier League refs have different jobs?
I don't know. I think they do still, don't they?
Yeah. Well, this guy was a police officer from Harrogate in Yorkshire.
Okay. Didn't mess with him then, probably.
No, exactly.
He was quick on a whistle.
And, of course, the obligatory sponsor of some whiskey. He's going to find the right way there in a minute.
Yeah,
Bell's thanks. Whiskey.
Yeah, love it. Love
that was
it.
The only decent thing. Program cost 50p. And it was.
Programs are bloody going up, isn't it? Program of the year, stat.
Yeah, program of the year. 1983-84. So we're now off to our final game.
Final game.
This is where I'm just going to sit back and you can tell me about all the things I couldn't find.
I can fill in. I was at this game. Yeah, go on. Go for it.
It's a Monday night. Right, so it's Monday night football.
Monday night football, yeah.
7:30 kickoff.
Yeah.
It was the FA Cup fifth round.
Yeah.
And Bobby Robson was against, I didn't even write who the opposition manager was, so you can fill that in. But it was Bristol Rovers. It was the FA Cup fifth round.
Who was manager the year before? Was it Bobby Campbell? It was manager.
Oh, the Scottish guy.
Yeah, it was manager. Was he managing them in 78?
Yeah, he was.
May have moved. I don't know. Perhaps he was. Someone's shouting out there, probably.
Bristol Rovers were either
Ian or Julian. Sorry.
Yeah. They'll correct us. They were second in Division 12, and we were 13th.
They were 12th in Division
2. Yeah. Always stick to your format. Consistency, then you won't go wrong. Now, this game was due to be played on the 17th of February.
Yeah.
You know what frustrated me? I realised as we were going along.
Yeah.
That I've got the programme.
Yeah.
The programme has got the 17th of February on it,
yeah.
And the 3 p.m. kickoff.
Yeah.
And I haven't got it here.
You haven't got the programme?
No.
I have got the programme.
Right.
Oh, blow. No, haven't got it. We were playing on a Monday night.
Okay, so what I can tell you...
Saturday afternoon programme.
Right, what I can tell you about this was a bad winter. So January going into February was bad. At the time, it's my very first job, full-time job. I worked out at Fison's, only at Brantford, okay? Yeah. Lived on Chantry at the time. There was so much snow. Brantford was cut off, mate. You couldn't get there. And that was brilliant. I'm getting paid at home. So getting paid to sit at home and probably mess around with my mates, chucking snowballs and stuff. I'm sure we did.
That's not a euphemism, is it?
Mate, no. Snow drifts at Brantford, mate. It's cut off for about three or four days. There you go.
Third and fourth round against Carlisle and Orient, as they were then.
Yeah. I remember the Carlisle game against Beattie scored against his hometown, obviously against his place of birth, his hometown club.
Did he celebrate?
I believe he probably did, but I think he did. And Orient, well, you can certainly see footage of that. It was 0-0 draw. John Jackson played in goal for them and it was heroic, but yeah, that was a really frozen pitch. Yeah, I remember that game. And that was the sort of game back in the day. There wasn't players basically then. If the pitches were frozen, played in trainers.
Yeah,
pretty sure that day there's players playing in sort of trainers.
Well, I shared yesterday the FA Cup fifth round tie against Bristol Rovers in 1978, and that's just crazy conditions. Before we go to this game, February 1979 was a big month for Ipswich. Because they signed Franz Tyson.
Yeah, they did. Bloody hell. Yeah. Yeah.
He's not in this game, but you think about this team and then suddenly think about Franz Tyson slipping in. Interesting name, one of the players that doesn't get mentioned a lot. So we'll go through the town team because go through the Rovers team, but you've no idea who they are. Cooper in goal, Burley, Les Tibbett.
Yeah, Les Tibbett. Yeah. So. Probably left maybe end of that season after, went to Sheffield United, I think. Well, I think he's full Welsh international, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, left back.
Is he playing left back there? So that meant McNeil's is playing left side of midfield.
Yeah, definitely. Tibbett wouldn't be playing anywhere else.
Osman and Beattie.
Yeah.
You think we had a great combination of centre-half partnerships then?
Well, look at it. Look, 78, 79. Butcher was just about...
Yeah.
Just about established, but look, it's a cup game,
and
you know, big game, cup game. We'd view that as a, you know, obviously big. Well, of course, we'd view it as a big game. We're the defending our cup, aren't we?
Here we are.
We're the holders. Look at the rest of the team, for God's sake.
We've got Mick Mills. We're going to put him on the left side of midfield. We've got Walkie, Muren, and Clive Woods, and up front, Paul Mariner and Alan Brazil. So going back to it, Ian Marshall and Chris Kawamia. Or John Stead and Pablo Canago, or Paul Mariner and Alan Brazil.
For me, it's obviously Mariner and Brazil. Yeah, brilliant together. Brilliant. This was just about the time, actually, where the front three of Brazil, Well, we'll get on to that because the end of this season for Ipswich is just ridiculous. Probably from this game onwards, actually. Absolutely nuts.
Let's go through the Rovers team, shall we?
Yeah, yeah. Because I did a little bit of digging on this, actually. Go on.
Thomas?
So it's Martin Thomas. He played the previous season in both
the
games.
Oh, Martin Thomas. Went on to Leeds and...
No. That's Nigel Martin, isn't it?
I get very confused. If their name is Martin and they're a goalkeeper, I always assume Nigel
and
Martin.
That would make him Thomas Martin. No, yeah, I think that's Nigel Martin. Yeah, but you're right. Yeah. Nigel Martin certainly played for Bristol Rovers.
All right, yeah. Yeah. Jones.
I think that's Vaughan Jones, only because I looked it up.
Don't miss an own goal here. Beta.
Was he not a school teacher?
He could have been, yeah. He could well have been, yeah.
Yeah, that was Phil. He played in the games previous year.
Harding.
Yeah, Mike Harding. So yeah, it just comes. it just come from the Gaumont. He played a gig. Brought his guitar and then came hot footed.
You call him the Romford Warrior or something? Was it?
Rochdale Cowboy.
Rochdale Cowboy.
That's
near
what
enough.
He's known as yeah.
Taylor.
Stuart Taylor. He played the previous season.
What the town Stuart Taylor?
Oh, good point. I don't know what the old Arsenal keeper.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
No, not him. No.
No.
And this guy, I didn't even realise he played football.
Yeah.
This was before he became a symbol. Prince.
Well, you know, do you know what? You know, pop music and that music industry wasn't paying much in those days. And I think it's a sign of the times, isn't it? I'm on fire tonight. I'm absolutely on fire. Come on.
I can hear some doves crying now. Dennehy.
I think he drove a... Did he not drive a
little red Corvette,
didn't he? Anyway,
is he the guy that wore a raspberry beret? Lived on Alphabet Street.
Yeah, anyway, can't stop it now.
Dennehy.
I know I looked it up, and I still don't know his name. Yeah. Don't know.
Williams.
Yeah, David Williams, yeah. Scored twice this previous year against... Why didn't I play for Norwich, David Williams?
And he also went on to become our physio.
Our physio. I think he works at that practice along Woodbridge Road.
He does. Whitehead.
Don't know.
You must know this.
Clive used to play for Bristol City, but I'm not sure it's the same one.
Your interest in movies from the 70s and 80s, you must have an idea of who this guy is. Emmanuel.
Yeah, I think that's Gary Emmanuel. Yeah, not to be confused with the soft porn star of the played by Sylvia Christel, I think her name was.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Hendry.
Paul Hendry, I think that is. Yeah. Yeah. So there was. So what did we have? We had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So, and the substitute, David Staniforth. There were 6 players that were involved for Bristol Rovers in the previous year's cup tie. Ties, plural.
Monday night, 23,000 have turned up. They're obviously fed up that they haven't watched a game of football for a while. So there's a fair few turning up at Portman Road. Not a great deal to go on the goals here.
No, you know, I don't. I mean, I think this game you made a note of is quite noteworthy. It's Brazil opens the scoring for us. I don't remember anything about it. And in the 8th minute, and it's his first goal for the town, his first senior goal, yeah?
Went on to score 80, I think. Something like that.
Maybe even more. Very impressive. First senior goal. I think he scored his first goal against his first league goal, I think, against Forest. I remember this footage of that one-on-one with Shilton. You see it, he's one-on-one. That's not bad, is it? First senior goal.
Not at
one-on-one
all.
With Shilton.
28th minute, Mills scores a header, put us 2-0 up. Brazil then gets his second and 34. Yeah. And then Murin on the 44th minute. It's a great goal. He goes past several defenders
and the keeper. I remember that one. Yeah, ghosts. Yeah, because he wasn't quick. He just sort of dropped his shoulder and just like drifted past. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
Do you think that he became better in February 79 when the greatest player to play for Ipswich Town, Franz Tyson, joined the club?
Yeah.
Did he get the best out of Arnold?
I think he did. Yeah. I think they just complemented each other so well, didn't they? Yeah.
In fact, 2 years ago, I won't show you now on my phone, but 2 years ago, I think it was 2 years ago. Yeah, it was. I met Franz and Arnold and Tom Van Hulsen because I had the Game Changer book signing, and that was in the Sir Bobby Robson suite or whatever after the game.
Went along.
Yeah. And I got interviewed for by a Dutch newspaper. And you have me, they have me in there saying, for sure, he wore an orange hat just for the occasion.
Oh, yeah, the Broncos.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brian, I was lucky enough. I saw Murin's debut against Liverpool, the game where the ball was flying over his head and he wondered, you know, what he was there for. And I think, I can't remember, I'm sure I must have seen Tyson's debut as well. Yeah, that was the final piece in the great, you know, jigsaw, really. They were just brilliant. And yeah, when you think we'd sold Brian Tolbert literally weeks before that, so, yeah, late 78, early 79. Though there wasn't transfer windows then. So I think we sold Tolbert for 450,000 and got, I believe, Tyson and Murin in for a combined 350, was it? Something like, it's just ridiculous, mate. I mean, what?
Fantastic. Well, it shows
don't get me wrong, Tolbert was a great player and went on to be brilliant for Arsenal and play for England and stuff. But unbelievable business that was, my God.
Fantastic. 4-0 up at half-time and then there were no more goals until the last 9 minutes. Geddes comes off the bench to put us 5-0 up.
Yeah.
White then scores.
Yeah.
He must have. Did he score? He's not on my list of players. Must be Whitehead.
White ghosted in.
Yeah.
He scored.
Mariner in the 90th minute sets up a 6-1 FA Cup fifth round victory, and we're against Liverpool, drawn against top of the table Liverpool in the quarterfinals.
And what a great game. I mean, and lost. I mean, this is the season. So I've got made notes here. So 2 weeks later, so not a bad crowd, 23,000. 2 weeks later, we're playing Barcelona at home in the UEFA Cup on the Tuesday night. On the Wednesday night, played Barca at home, beat them, I think, 2-1. 29,187. 2 days later at home to Liverpool, Cup quarterfinal of 31,332, mate. What days. What brilliant day. I remember the game against Liverpool, standing Churchman's. It was one of those games where pretty tight game. I think we're pretty much on top. And Dalglish, as he always used to in those days, just scored a worldie against us. I mean, I've seen him, must have scored 4 or 5 over the years like that. And that was it. Settled. And yeah, you know, they went on to... just getting back to Liverpool quickly that season, that was a ridiculous season where they... I think they won the league by about 8 points and scored 85 goals and conceded 16.
16 goals?
16, mate. They had a trench around. They had a trench and bloody minefield around the penalty area, mate. Incredible.
So was Hansen there yet?
Yeah, I think Hansen was just about there. So it'd have been Hansen and I don't think it'd have been Lawrence.
Phil Neal? Thompson?
Yeah, Neal, yeah. Thompson, obviously Clements in goal, McDermott. Yeah. David Johnson. Just Souness, obviously, was there. Yeah, a hell of a side. Sammy Lee just about broken through, if not Jimmy Case. Just a brilliant, brilliant Liverpool. So arguably, probably the
Would
best.
Would you say Sammy Lee was small and round and bounced on the ground?
Certainly does. Certainly.
He was there, Mickey Stockwell, wasn't he?
He's a quality player. I was so for it. Played, you know, England as well.
Have you got number one?
I have, but just quickly, just to put it again in perspective, so the run Ipswich had, so they had a pretty iffy start to the season. Last 17 league games in the top division, won 11, drew 5, lost 1, and just one defeat, which, unsurprisingly, was against Liverpool away. Yeah. I mean, fantastic. I have got a number one, mate. And I really wish it was... I'm going to give you two. Oh, no, I'm going to give you two because this only became number one this day. So I'm going to give you one the week before. So the week before, this was a record that was number one for about 3 weeks. So 1979 by a group, an American band, massive at the time, with a female lead singer.
Ooh.
Huge at the time. Female lead singer.
Blondie.
Go on.
Atomic.
Close. That was number one. I think about a year or so later. It's a brilliant block. I think it's the best Blondie tune.
Heart of Glass.
Too fantastic. However, that day it was knocked off the number one spot, and it was such a shame. It's a real shame. It was awful. It's terrible.
Was it Bad by Michael Jackson?
Oh, you're getting there. No, it wasn't. No. It was terrible. No, hang on. No, that's not really good. It's a shame.
Oh. I know. I can... I'm, no.
It was a real...
Toya Wilcox.
Oh, it was a real tragedy.
Was it Steps?
Well, it's a bit before Steps, but yeah.
Bee Gees.
It was indeed.
Tragedy.
It was indeed.
Well, I ended up getting on the Skybox series link of old Top of the Pops.
Oh, man, I love that.
I came across one in 1985 or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, every song in the charts, the top 40,
yeah,
were in your own mind, huge hits, you know. They'd say the
Bang, Walk
Like an Egyptian, would go straight into number 14. Yeah. And you think, what?
Yeah, I know. I go back to that and watching with my lads, and they say, well, good God, what, this was in the chart at the same time as Going Underground by The Jam or something like that, you know. So, yeah, you know, just usual. Incredible.
What about your youngest? Does he watch it as well?
Oh, yeah, he watch it. Yeah. Because he'll listen to some of our music. Yeah. Not so avid as Jordan, but yeah.
Anyway, you know what? I've pulled back into the format this time because obviously we're looking, we haven't done an 80s and 70s special. So we're back on the birthdays, and
hey,
this one.
Where are we? Where are we going?
This deserves a special mention. So former town manager John Duncan will be 70 on the 22nd of February. God. Came to us from Chesterfield. Managed us between 1987 and 90.
Yeah.
He had a win percentage of 45%, which tends to shock most people.
That's pretty good, isn't it? That's really quite good, isn't it?
I think. You know, if we go back to somebody who's managed a fair few games similar, we talk about Mick. Mick was 35, 36.
Yeah, nowhere near that.
He left town when he got sacked, and I remember being on the pitch. We used to have sit-in protests and stuff like that because you didn't have a banning order to worry about back then. You just were told to get off the pitch and stop being a pain. He left town in 1990, and he went to, I believe, Radio Suffolk.
He did. Yeah.
Which is, you know, a bit of a come down on commentating on.
He did. He used to summarise with good old Charles Collins. Yeah, I'm pretty
sure
he did.
He became a teacher, a PE teacher at Hadley, Cornard, Sudbury, or something like that.
Somewhere out that way, yeah.
And then he ended up going back to Chesterfield again.
Did he not go back to Chesterfield? Am I right in saying he took them to the bloody FA Cup? Was it not him that took them to the Cup semi final?
Yeah. It was against Borough. Yeah, that was him. So that was about him. 90,
because the old Sandy Ballbag played in that side, didn't he?
He did.
Anyway. Kevin Davis as well, I think. Anyway.
Kevin Davis. Yeah. This next guy, I like, and I haven't seen a lot of him.
You said that before, didn't you? Yeah.
On the same day, on the 22nd of January, February, I don't think they are twins because they seem to be born a bit far apart. But Caden Jackson will be 25. 12 starts, 14 sub appearances, 3 goals.
Yeah, he's got. I'd just like to see him. You know, he's obviously with us now. I'd just like to see him up front with another, perhaps get a run with another striker alongside him, really. You know, because he's certainly early. Go on.
Are you saying that you want to see him up front, not with Colin Quayner?
probably not with Colin Quayner, but you know, with bearing in mind next season, and he is our player. I mean, could you see a front two potentially next season, if Keane or Kyle, wherever, you know, of Harrison and Jackson? You'd think in League One.
I would love to see that. Yeah,
yeah. You'd think in League One that would.
Fired up on Saturday night when we had the question at Blue Monday about which away ground would we like to see in League One.
Right.
And I had a look, and there could be some good away days there. I'm looking forward to it. You don't share my options.
Oh, yeah, we absolutely. Yeah, certainly. We'll have to see what comes up there.
And then we've got our last birthday. And, for all the criticism that Mick McCarthy got, he could pick a great loan signing, couldn't he?
Well, he could pick a great loan signing, and he could just get players to come. These players to come in and play for him, couldn't he? More importantly, I mean, this was obviously part of the deal that saw
Tyrone Mings.
I wonder if it was Brett Pittman. I don't know where that came from. Brett Pittman came as well, didn't he? So Brett Pittman come on a permanent.
Yeah.
And part of the deal also, we got Ryan Fraser. And again, unfortunately, he's brilliant, wasn't he? Absolutely brilliant. 21 appearances, 6 goals. But Oh, bloody hell, he injured when he was. We missed. How much better would it have been that? Who knows that season if
it was a QPR? He picked up the injury. Yeah, he's 24 on the 24th, and you know what shocked me that I had a look, and this season in the Premier League he's played 33 times. Mm. Well, he's made 33 appearances, probably including cup games. Seven goals.
He's great, isn't he? And a regular for Scotland now as well, yeah. Isn't he?
Great player.
Really good player. Yeah, I'd say out of the ones, you know, in recent seasons, who you know, I think I probably just put, you know, with Mick. So you had Johnny Williams, or we all know he was great potentially, but we never saw the best because of his injuries. Obviously Fraser, Lawrence, Salina. Yeah, Fraser, I think was. I know Lawrence had the more impact. His goals kept us up, for Christ's sake. But I think Fraser was my favourite. He was brilliant, wasn't he?
Cool. While you mentioned Tom Lawrence, I didn't particularly like him last week playing for Derby. It's just, I don't like the cut of his jib. Just how he is.
He's petulant. Petulant? Well, he's like that with us, though, wouldn't he? He'd pick a fight in a bloody empty room, wouldn't he? He was like that. I don't think
that players who play against former clubs, I think they should celebrate. But I think there should be a little bit of respect there. And I think at times, just the way that he was... acting a little bit and stuff.
He was like that with us, so wasn't he? Don't forget, we weren't, you know, we didn't own him. We never owned him as such. But I think he was like that with us, wasn't he? Don't you think? He was a bit petulant and stuff. Christ, man. Well, don't you remember that season he was with us? The amount of bookings he got just from mouthing off. You know, all dissent, all of them.
Yeah. So, mate, that brings to the end of this. Brilliant. I wanted to mention something to you.
Go on.
Well, are we gonna mention that we're in the early stages of planning a special with a... Can we call him an Ipswich legend?
Oh crikey, yeah. I forgot about this. We spoke about this on Saturday, didn't we? Well, we are, yeah. Well, I don't think we can divulge. We mustn't divulge yet, I don't think. But
there's going to be a big name.
Yeah, it is a big name. It is a big name. Yeah,
J. Emmanuel Thomas is quite big.
Yeah, hopefully it's either for me. It's either, and I don't know because Stan told me yet, but I'm hoping it's either Jet or obviously Darren Curry. It's one of the two.
Curry, that'd be good. So we're gonna have a big name. I understand that he's already doing his research. He's going to pick his four games.
Our talk's very advanced. Are we at an advanced stage yet or not? How advanced are we?
Emails are being exchanged.
So are you seeing this up? Because I know our colleague Mikey sees him quite a lot, doesn't he?
Yeah. Let's not give too much away. But what I would say, at some point, we're going to have an Ipswich legend on here, and he's going to take us through this week in ITFC history special, where we're going to talk about four of his games. And there's one game, and I'm not going to mention it because it'll give it away, but it's a great game that we want to cover. There is so much incident in that.
That is a great game. So, obviously, I don't think we could do it on Skype, so hopefully he's going to come round here, not round yours. He's going to come round here, isn't he?
I'll ask him. All right, Nate. He's just finishing his dinner, and then he's actually on the stat machine at the moment.
I know it'll be like us. He'll be waiting. He'll be waiting on Skype. We'll say, where's Dave? I'm just finishing my dinner. Sorry. Yeah.
I'm a bit worried that they'll when we set the Skype up, and he's going to be like on the screen looking that. I'm going to struggle.
He's
going
to look and think, oh, Christ, what have I let myself in for?
Now, mate,
that was brilliant. So that is us for another week. Love that stat. That was superb. So next from the Blue Monday podcast, I guess, will be Harry and Rich's review of the Wigan game, which is coming up this weekend. Although you can see some of that review from our, they did a brief segment of it, or Harry did, from Saturday evening, which I think you can get on Acast now, can't you? You can see that online now, can't you?
Yeah, you can. My favourite comment of the night on Monday was Mrs. Stat, who said to me, she went, I can see why people like Harry from Bath.
Yeah.
My goodness, I think he's even more of a nerd than you are, which was the comment. And I went... Harry and I had a conversation about, you know, about how we like to dig around, and we're digging in different plots looking for information. But yeah, he knows his stuff. So it was good to actually meet. It was the first time I met him.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Well, I'd met him at Reading this season. It's only like the second time I've met Mikey, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just don't, do we? You know,
anyway, I've seen the time.
So Cinetime. So keep, yeah, keep and then I think it's the flagship show on Sunday, I believe, with Rich, Ben, and I think Amy this week.
Amy's here, yeah. I think she's going to the game. So
in Wigan, I believe. And there won't be a history pod next week because I'm away. I'm away traveling with Biz. So. I'm in Dubai next week, Stat. Dubai.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that'll be all right. Sort of 4 days in Dubai. Busy though, mate. Busy.
You have a tough job, don't you?
Well, mate, you know, someone's got to do it. It'd be too hard. It'd be busy and hot, mate. So flying night flight, mate. Get in at 9 in the morning. Straight into a meeting at 10:30, mate. No sitting around.
Life's tough. Life's tough for you.
Love this, Stat. Hopefully we'll catch up soon the special edition you're talking about, that won't be yet, will it? That'll be
a few
weeks, I guess. Got to put it together. Your people have got to speak to his people, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. And I've actually agreed that I will do it with him now, so that's fine.
Awesome. All right, mate. We'll catch up soon.
Enjoy Dubai. Oh, easy for me to say. Yeah.
All right, mate. See you later. Good, cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nugget and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.